and the people passed by under the trees like pale shadows taking up no space. Few motor vehicles were on the road. Some men were riding bicycles, and a few drove ox carts or rode in pony cabs. There were some buzzing auto rickshaws too, which are three-wheeled scooters with cabs for passengers. They were unlikely to have spare petrol. In the state of Bihar, you could get 3 or 4 meals for the price of a litre of petrol. A taxi came towards me, full of people pressing forward. The driver was bent over the wheel with his dark face thrust against the windscreen and all the expression squeezed out of him. The wheels flew up and down on the bumps, and the taxi slithered and juddered across the waves of tar as though trying to escape, drawn to its destination only by the concerted prayers of the people inside it. By this time, several men had stopped to observe me, and then reluctantly walked on. But now one came who spoke a little English. His colour and features indicated that he was a Brahmin, though his knotted cord, if he had one, was covered by his shawl and shirt. He told me straight away that he was very poor. I replied by telling him that I had no petrol.
"Village is there," he said, "not far."
He stopped another man coming along slowly on a bicycle with a shopping bag slung from the handlebars and spoke to him in Hindi. "He says they will be having petrol. It is 2 miles, not far." I thanked him and waited. I felt sure there would be no petrol at the next village, but could not say so. There were more words spoken in Hindi.
"This man will go on his bicycle. How much petrol you are wishing?"
It did not seem to me that the man had volunteered, but he appeared to accept the Brahmin's authority without question. "That's wonderful," I said. "I will need a litre," and started to fish in my pockets.
No good, sir. Afterwards you can pay. Now he will go."
The Brahmin's prophecy was instantly fulfilled. The man turned his bicycle and went. The Brahmin then mentioned again, as a matter of purely academic interest, that he was poor, this time adding that I was rich. I felt that he was striving towards some kind of dialogue which would result, without his even having to wish it, in my turning my fortune over to him and continuing on foot. This might well have happened in ancient Indian legend, but I was not the warrior he took me for, and he was not sage enough for me, though he had a sly air about him. So I withdrew politely from the conversation and sat at the foot of the tree to write and take pleasure in the afternoon. It was February. The light was still cool and golden, and there was peace here too, a kind of detachment that I found only rarely in public places in India. It seemed a perfect time to put down on paper what had been a